know we're trying to be lighthearted about this, but I think Jordan kicked us off at a great place. I was really concerned that our funniest moments were going to have to be really dark humor because they're also really scary.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. It's a good point. Let's see what happens here.
I mean, let's be honest. We're all dealing with this right now because Trump didn't get hugged enough.
That's very true. Right. Childhood trauma.
What up, world? We're back. Episode 101.
Yeah.
Which is really just an extension of the last one y'all just listened to. Hopefully you jumped right into this one. And if you're not,
what up?
Hello, welcome back. We have the same crew as before, picking up where we left off, talking about the scariest and then the most euphoric moments of the Trump administration. We have Beck with us, Jordan Scruggs. With us again, hello.
Hello.
The Reverend.
The Reverend.
Yeah, welcome back.
And also in the house, back with us, Nelson Parrish. Or AKA Fluffy, as you may
hear
him called.
Hello, sir. Thank you for having me.
Oh, Nelson, can you believe it's 101? Can you believe it's 101?
You guys are just crushing it. Like... You're just dropping these things. 100 just felt like it was 5 minutes ago.
This is also like kind of cruel. It's like a little dirt in the wound for you because you're like, you'll never make it. And now we're doing, you're forcing you to do 101 with us.
Whoa. I never said you weren't going to make it. I just wanted you guys to keep things realistic and get to episode 50 first.
That's fair. That's fair.
Because I said 50 when we're on episode like 12. So
yeah, look where we are now.
But yeah, what episode are we on now?
101, which if you wrote that backwards, it would be 101.
We're taking you to school, 101.
And yes, it's school time.
Wait, Blake, are you telling me that 101 is a palindrome?
Yes, I am.
Did you know that if you concatenate...
That's your fun fact for the episode.
Well, hold on. Did you know that if you concatenate all the palindromes between 1 and 101... That number is prime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I just blew your fucking minds. You're welcome. Do you want me to repeat that?
No, don't repeat it again.
If you get all palindromes between 1 and 101, that number is prime. Boom. You're welcome, world. My contribution on this earth is done.
I thought that math fact was going to be so much cooler.
And I think that goes down as my most euphoric moment of the Trump administration.
You're welcome.
Next.
You're welcome.
Jordan, take it away.
Well, you know, the nice is not the right word. The comic relief of the Trump presidency is... There's a couple of things that immediately come to mind. Obviously, his Twitter feed, when it's not horrifying, it's hilarious. Because he does all kinds of weird things, but I think, and the way that he speaks also, but I think that, I think the funniest, the thing that made me laugh harder than anything else that I've ever watched him do was when he was giving some speech. I think this was like 2 years ago, maybe. And I think his dentures fell out of his mouth. Do you guys remember this? Like, he's like talking and his dentures sort of slide out of his mouth and he's trying to say, God bless the United States. And instead, and he says, "And God bless the United States."
Oh, like, no.
You don't remember that?
Is that what was happening? That a thing?
Yes. Yes. No.
Is that why he slurs his speech?
Hold on.
Oh, wow. That makes sense to me.
Holy shit.
I agree, Jordan. I feel like you can slowly see the denture slipping out of his mouth sometimes. You know, like he takes... You remember when he had to like slowly sip the water out of everyone?
Yes.
Just because he like couldn't figure out how to like drink water out of the cup and he like put it back down.
Wait, let me see if this
You guys literally just blew my fucking mind. That explains so much weird about him.
It does. It does. It does.
Here it is. Here it is.
The way he holds his jaw when he's observing something sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I like it. That was a great start, Jordan.
Oh my God.
I mean, because listeners, if you listen to the last one, We're really trying to make this into kind of a fun tongue-in-cheek, like, palate cleanser a little bit, because last one got a little dark in places.
And so dark.
If you're following
just,
what's happening.
Just going to throw this out there. Dentex, if you want to sponsor us with your secure denture bonding cream, we'll read your advertisements. It is rated number one denture cream on noblerate.com.
Oh my god!
I'm gonna have to.
Let's be honest.
That one's free.
I'm glad that you identified our target market, because I'm sure that people needing dentures listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Right. I'm just here to perform a service, really.
Yeah, droves.
That's for sure. That's group stuff.
Live to serve. All right, y'all. I'm gonna have to hop off here.
Jordan. Much love.
I look forward to listening to this later. I'm sad. I'm gonna miss out on it.
Well, it'll be a surprise for you, and then you can leave us a comment on Facebook.
I will. I'll share it.
Jordan, thank you so much, as always. It's been a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to see you guys.
Yes, thanks so much, Jordan.
Have a great
really
night.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you too. Bye, Reverend. And Kevin. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and the little dictator, yep. Mm-hmm.
yeah, good night, guys.
All right.
Well.
All right, who's next?
Sponsored by Modelo.
So, is that a cue to me?
Sure.
My most funniest moment.
Sure.
Yeah, do it.
You're the guardrails, man.
Ooh. So I'm tied for two. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to just point one thing out here. I know we're trying to be lighthearted about this, and I think Jordan kicked us off at a great place. I was really concerned that our funniest moments were going to have to be really dark humor because they're also really scary.
Yeah, good point. Totally. That's a good point. Let's see what happens here.
So then, that said, I will go with the funnier one. So I would have to say when Trump said that he loved Kim Jong-un, I thought that was pretty funny. Like, really, do you
with
really
the huge
love
letter?
Him? Yeah, like, do you really know what you're saying right now?
I don't think you know how love works.
No, you pay for love.
Yeah, like,
right? Doesn't know how love works.
Well, yeah. And I mean, like, you never know. Maybe that's what his dad taught him what love was. I don't know. But
I mean, let's be honest. We're all dealing with this right now because Trump didn't get hugged enough.
That's very true. Right. Childhood trauma.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean... I don't want to say any libel things against who Trump is as a human being, but he probably didn't get hugged enough. And like I said in earlier episodes, probably get whipped a few times by a dominatrix. Probably could help him.
Probably.
Lady and the Tramp.
But that he should get that just more, say, though. He should get that more. Anyways, we don't have to go
that way. Yeah, but like, just to be like, yeah, you know, we fell in love. Like, it was a fucking spaghetti pasta dinner from a 90s cartoon.
Lady and the Tramp.
No, what... What a bizarre way to conduct foreign policy.
Lady the Tramp. That's so, like, I'm not gonna lie, when he said we fell in love, that's the scene that played in my eyes was Lady and the Tramp. Like, him and Kim Jong-un sharing a noodle.
Well, never gonna be able to unsee that. Never gonna be able to unsee
that. Yeah, definitely never gonna be able to get that out of my mind.
It's gonna haunt us all.
I will be producing that meme later in the week. Yeah. You're welcome.
So I'm gonna hop right in on that and piggyback off of you and say that one of the funniest things that I've seen that happens to Trump, and I know it's happened on multiple occasions, is when he flicks his wife's hand a couple of times, like on a first date, trying to test the girl, see if she'll hold his hand, and she pulls her hand away. It was
yeah.
Because that's what love is.
Wow.
Yes, I will continue to laugh at this man's misfortune, and it's deserved. Deserved. It's part of the reason his psyche has brought us here, but it's also he's a buffoon in a suit.
Is.
He's a giant buffoon in a suit.
And yeah,
for real.
Very true.
That just shows. It just shows, and I will get serious for just one second. It does show the kind of personal life that he's led. Now that his third wife slaps his hand away from him at public outings as the First Lady of the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. As she should. Melania, by the way, please be the mole. Please be the mole.
Oh my God.
Right?
Oh, man. I want that so bad.
She's writing those op-eds and shit. Oh my God.
Oh, it would so be good. Bad. Secretly planning to take him down.
I would rather it be Kellyanne Conway and George Conway doing like a whole bit for like 4 years and like public breakup and the whole thing. And it's like, surprise, bitches, it was us the whole time. Like, yeah, I want that so bad.
Yeah. At least as a couple, they have an end game.
Right.
It trumps down.
Yeah, sure. I can see that definitely falling under the Conways.
All right. I will go next. My number one funniest moment on my list. Staring into the sun during the solar eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
Sunglasses on. Did you guys see that?
Kelly, that was going to be...
he's standing there just looking up, just looking.
I too made a list on this, but that was my top one. Yep. Kelly, to me, that in a single moment encapsulates everything about why I hate this fucking timeline.
Yeah.
It's just like... That man is the fucking president. And everybody was like, hey, don't stare into the eclipse. It's bad for you. And he was like, cool, I'm going to stare into the eclipse. It's
I'll just put a hand over my eyes, dude. I'll blur. It's fine. Ugh. It's fine. No.
So bad.
Oh, I know. I know. But I agree. It completely encapsulates everything about the president. Yeah. Yep. That he's a buffoon. He is someone that has, I think, no social grace, no idea of how he acts, and he doesn't care really about what's happening around him unless it affects him on a personal basis, right? And so, it's honestly, even three-year-olds are taught by their parents to not stare into the sun, right?
You would think.
Even three-year-olds.
Yeah. Again, needs a hug.
Don't stare into the sun for too long.
Needs a hug. And some life lessons. Okay, I can go. But I realize that everyone's doing one that, like, things that Trump did. Can I do ones like not Trump didn't do it, but it's like in? Can we just do like a little side,
yeah,
little side
Trump,
out
of
here?
Yeah,
yeah. Consider it a sideshow.
I'll pay it.
It's sexual and actually it's not sexual at all. But. Okay, so my. My, like, this is, I think this is the funniest thing that's happened, like, in the thing, is the brief moment, the brief wonderful moment we all had with Anthony Scaramucci as press secretary. Okay?
Yes.
Because that shit was amazing. He was just this Italian dude from Jersey, this fucking Guido, or, no, sorry, he's not from Jersey, he's from Long Island, let's get it straight. He's not from fucking New Jersey, he's from Long Island.
Yeah, that's right.
Shots fired! Shots fired.
There's a difference. Lauren made sure to make me look this up and see where it was before I said it.
I'm sure she did. She's like,
Long Island. Nope. Okay. And this motherfucker does not care. He does not. He was just saying whatever, like, just the pure gold. And so let me just go ahead and read a few of these great quotes.
I'm so glad you brought quotes.
What I want to do is I want to fucking kill all the leakers, and I want to get the president's agenda on track so we can succeed for the American people.
Wait, okay. Tyler, can you do this in his accent?
I mean, no, I can't do it justice, but I will continue to...
No, don't worry about it.
Oh, you should have sent him to me. I would have done the mooch. I would have done the mooch.
Don't worry about it.
I would have done the mooch.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I can, though.
Do it.
Tyler, I'll pay you time and a half.
I'll take that. All right, so here's another great one. I've done nothing wrong on my financial disclosures, so they're going to have to go fuck themselves. Okay, so that.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a good one. Then when he's talking about rights, okay, rights for humans. Rights is a fucking paranoid schizophrenic. A paranoiac. Let me get this fucking thing and see if I can cockblock these people in the way I cockblocked Scaramucci for 6 months.
All right. Oh my god. I forgot about all of those quotes. But
here's my favorite, though. Here's my favorite. Because it's true. I'm not Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own cock.
Yes.
And let us remember that quote came from when he called. This isn't a hot mic moment. He called a Times reporter.
Yeah.
The Times reporter said, can I put you on the record? He said, yeah, that's why I'm calling you. So you can put me on the record. And he told him, I'm not Steve Bannon.
It was published in the Times, that exact quote. It's fucking ridiculous. It is so ridiculous.
The timeline we live in, I can't handle it. again, this is another example of why I cannot handle this shit. I cannot believe that's real. Why does fiction exist? This is plenty entertaining. Yeah.
Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, John. Oh, man. But that's a side note.
I'm crying. I'm laughing so hard. I'm so laughing so hard right now.
Yeah. So I will basically, like, all the fucked up shit we talked about on the last episode, like, couldn't he have at least just given us Anthony Scaramucci, right? Like, couldn't we have just had that? That would have been so...
Can you even imagine if Scaramucci was still in the White House right now, like, as his press secretary?
Oh, he lasted, like, what, like 4 days?
Yeah, four days or something. Maybe a week, something like that.
That's one of my favorite parts. We got the unit of time, which is a Scaramucci, which is, I think, 11 days. If you last 11 days in your job, you are a Scaramucci. Although, technically, his initial starting date was after he was fired. Or his official starting date was after he was fired. So, technically, he was, like, minus 20 or something like that.
Did we come up with this?
No.
don't take credit for that.
No, but this is a thing that exists in the world now. It's a Scaramucci.
Urban Dictionary, approximately 9.5 to 10 days.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you, Urban. Yeah.
So anyways, I'm looking for the tell-all book from him because I just want more of that. But okay, back from my sideshow.
I fucking did it. All right, I was fucking there, and I made Trump better.
That's right.
Scaramucci 2040. That'll be like the whole tagline. I'll just be like, running for president.
You did it better. You made Trump better for 9.5 to 10 days.
Things would have been fine if he stuck around.
Damn straight. Oh, my God. That's why the economy is so good.
I love that there's like some debate as to whether or not that last half day made it better, right? Yeah. Like 9.5 to 10, like it got really gray there at the end.
Okay, so I'm surprised it hasn't been said yet. Back from my side joke to the main event here. The funniest moment, I think, is the infamous tweet, Covfefe.
Covfefe.
What is Covfefe? We don't know. We still don't know. What is Covfefe?
Oh, man.
We may never know.
Nope. That's a real thing?
It's a lot of memes.
I honestly think that that's what Trump calls his dick, his Covfefe. He's just like, what is it? He's like, he's looking at his dick while he's actually tweeting. He's like, what is Covfefe? Oh, shit.
Do you think that he would name his dick something that was that un-American sounding, though?
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, yes, I do. He's not American.
Nelson, let me answer your question with a question. Would he not name his dick something that Russians have?
Ooh.
Just saying.
Oh.
That's fair point.
For the record, he named his dick Donald because he's a severe narcissist.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Actually, just to set the record straight, I used to name my penis Covfefe when it was in the 80s.
Okay. I think we have reached our time allotment on Trump's penis.
Definitely. I've got another funny story. I got another one.
Nope. We only allocated 20 seconds to Donald Trump's dick. We gotta move on.
It's not about that.
I wrote that shit into my contract.
That's true. I actually have to pay John double for every minute that we talk about Donald Trump's penis after this.
It was my weird ask.
So I'm gonna go with my second point.
Okay.
The hurricane photo. Trump trying to say that the National Air and Space was completely wrong, that NASA was wrong. He does have a
Sharpie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dude, and they all denied it. I didn't do that. I didn't draw that.
Yeah.
It's because he did.
I mean, can you imagine sitting in front of a room of fucking people and actually having that and going, that's actually where it's going, this way. And they're like, no, it's actually not going that way. And he's like, yeah, but you like saw the lines, right? Like the lines are going this way.
Yeah, but Alabama, though. Yeah. But Alabama's going to get hit. Alabama always gets hit. We know that.
Right.
Even the alligators know that.
John, what's yours? I want to know.
Okay, I have another list.
Oh, my God.
There's some shit.
John, I like. Lists are good. Your lists are good. I like this. You always have good lists. Okay. You're a good lister.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll have to post my notes to this.
I'm planning on it. Will you send them to me actually later?
I will, because they're actually very, yes. So when Trump walked onto Air Force One with toilet paper on his shoe.
Nice.
God.
That's right. Nice.
Yeah. That was amazing. When Tillerson was canned on the can.
Yeah.
Yep. I would say maybe my second personal favorite would be Trump thinking that the human body is like a battery and you only have X amount of energy. Yes. And so you shouldn't expend it doing things like exercising.
Yeah.
That is just a whole fucking thing. But I will say I think my like funniest moment of his was when he refused to go to the memorial for fallen soldiers of World War One because he was concerned about the rain fucking up his hair.
Mm.
That is, I think, my personal favorite, just because it's so demeaning, and I just appreciate that.
It's just
the fact that he's such a fucking bone-spurred coward that he will not go out in the fucking rain to honor fucking World War One soldiers. Those guys went over the fucking trenches across no man's land into fucking machine guns over fucking barbed wire through mustard gas, and he can't get through the fucking rain? What a fucking coward.
Yeah, they didn't just sit in the rain. That's how trench foot got started, man. It was sitting in the trenches getting rained on.
They got eaten by rats in the fucking trenches. It was one of the most horrific human moments ever in human history.
Oh, yeah.
And he couldn't go out there because of the fucking rain.
And I mean, like,
fucking coward.
But you touched on it, John. You touched on it right there. How is the president really supposed to present himself unless his fake comb over really is popping in the sunshine? How is that? Like, you could really stand important. And be great for millions of people, but if your hair isn't popping, then what are we even talking about?
And what are you really doing?
Yeah, what are you really doing? But I agree. I don't want to undercut the moment because you're making a really fucking good point. But I really feel that it's Trump's mind at the end of it. He's like, yeah, my hair looks good. It's good. Or my hair doesn't look good. I'm not going to fucking go.
Because he's a clinical narcissist. But I do want to, I think maybe we are getting late here, and I want to end on an optimistic note. I know we didn't prepare anything for, like, optimistic moments, but I have one. We talked about, on the last podcast, about the convention speech and how fucking horrible that was and terrifying. The thing that happened the next day was the Women's March. And that, to me, set the tone for the opposition to the Trump presidency. And it was a really important moment for me. I remember going down with Jamie, who I was coaching with at the time, and we couldn't get on the train because there was too many fucking people. It was like a 2-hour line at the Golden Station. And so we went and we hopped on at Red Rocks, the Red Rocks station. We were literally the last people on the train. They didn't stop at any of the other stops. I don't know how long it took people to get there. When we did the march itself, we ended and we ran into a line of people, a huge mass of people, and they were starting the march. We ended before they started because there were so many people there. And so the counterbalance of American carnage and then the Women's March to me was maybe the most important moment of the Trump presidency because it set the tone, which was we're not dealing with this nonsense. We are going to come out and we're going to fight you. And I think that we've done a pretty good job of that so far. We are about to enter the darkest moment of that because in 11 months we have a re-election, and right now it looks like we're going to start a war.
Yeah, totally. But at the base of it, I think that if there's anything the listeners should take from the last two episodes is that there is serious hope in the United States against Donald Trump. We went scary, we went funny in the last two episodes, but The truth is that there's a lot of people out there that really disagree with what he's doing. And so, you know, what I think all of us can agree what we've been about as a pod is continue to push for the rights of all Americans. And that, especially this year, will consist of voting and getting people to vote.
Yeah, it's all about turnout. Got to get that turnout this year.
Yep.
Tell your friends.
You need a little resilience. This is your resilient podcast to get you boosted back up.
Yeah.
Get just fired up.
And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to sit there and laugh at Donald Trump. As scary as he is, don't be afraid to sit there and laugh at him, because that's important. Yeah. That's important to sit there and laugh at him and go, this guy is fucking ridiculous. And I know that because he's in a position of power and because the people that he surrounds himself with, there are serious consequences in the United States. Laugh about it and do something about it.
Saul Alinsky, who wrote Rules for Radicals and is an OG of the protest movement in the last century, said that ridicule is your most important weapon against power. And that's how we beat Trump, is ridicule, because he is a buffoon. He is a very powerful buffoon, but he's a fucking clown.
Yeah, fronting a whole push of clowns.
But he's also probably one of the most susceptible people to ridicule.
Yep.
He can't handle it.
Yep.
He can't stand being belittled. And just, he has the thinnest skin of anybody I've ever seen.
As most autocrats do.
So ridicule is your weapon.
Yep. Snowflake.
So we're not gonna let him grow. You know? We are 3 years in, we're 100 episodes in, but we're not gonna let him grow. Right?
Right. That's right. John, I really appreciate that optimistic moment. I mean, you know, extend Donald Trump love, but my most optimistic moment is every time he eats any sort of fast food, because he's that much closer to cardiac arrest.
I mean,
Tyler, it doesn't matter what you eat. You're a battery. You're gonna have the time that you've got.
Yeah, you're a battery.
True.
Yeah, you have finite amount of energy.
That's a battery. Have we not been paying attention?
All right.
Well spoken, Fluffy. Well said.
I will just throw my last one in. The people who really care about our laws in this country are closing in around Trump, and the Trump Foundation did have to close its doors after 35 years because it was a fucking scam the entire time. So that was the last thing on my list, but I had to fucking throw it out.
That's true. That's a good one.
It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Because of the pride that Trump fucking took in that foundation. Like, he was such a big charitable giver, and he was using it all for personal fucking gain, right? Using it all for personal fucking gain. So that's a huge middle finger to him.
Yeah. Ha ha ha, you fucker.
I mean, but in his eyes, though, he's doing it all legally because the loopholes exist and they're there. So he doesn't see any harm in it, you know? I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying it's totally fucked.
Well, that's part of the problem, right? Through his eyes, he hasn't done anything wrong. Nothing he's done since the start of his presidency has been an issue.
I actually,
like, sorry, we're going back to terrifying again.
Yeah, you're
going
to scary.
But...
No, don't do that.
I'm sorry, I'm scary on you guys.
We got to end before we go back to scary. We can only stay here so long.
Kelly, I thought you were going to say, to end on that note, that he used to dye his hair in Sunny Delight until he realized that it was making it too orange.
His hair was oranger, more orange than his skin.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. Wow. I like that.
Fact. You can fact check that.
I like that. and it is a fact. Maripod stamped.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's a total true fact. Oh, man. John, were you finished, Mr. Anderson, with your list?
Yes.
Because we got on a wild tangent there, and I wasn't sure if you were finished.
I want to add one based on what Kelly was talking about, which was when Donald Trump spent, I think, $10,000 on a portrait of Donald Trump that he hung in a property owned by Donald Trump through his foundation.
The level of narcissism is unbelievable.
A whole fucking thing. Yeah. So, wow.
I forgot about
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a bad painting, too. It's just gross. And he bought it because no one else would.
That's right.
And he was embarrassed, which takes us back to the ridicule.
Thing, that's right.
You know what, though? I gotta say, genius move on the artist.
That's even actually better, that he was so embarrassed that it was such a bad painting that he fucking spent that money to pay it anyway.
So it's like, for charity.
Well, yep. I got to make sure that nobody's going to buy this to see it because they don't see my golden
May I propose an idea, because I think this is a genius move by that artist. Should we produce an Ameripod picture of Donald Trump and put a ridiculously high price on it?
Yeah, we should each do that. We should each make our own and we'll be separate.
We collage it. You know?
We collage it. Ooh, I like this.
Yeah, for charity, like, and then donate it to exactly.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
He can pick it up for just like the Obama change poster, but it'll just be the four of us and maybe Nelson. If you can sneak into it, I know you're not an artist, but I don't want to call you out.
Oh.
You know.
I would actually disagree. But I think Fluffy is very much an artist.
All right.
Very much a mechanical artist.
Yeah, as much as our viewers would love to know, this is a podcast, so they can't see us draw, unfortunately. Different medium.
Wait, I'm so confused. They haven't seen us this whole time?
Did we capture everybody for funniest moment? Solid?
I think he did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
cool. I think we did. I got everything on the list. I was gonna, my number one was looking into the eclipse. That's just a
bit. Yeah.
That's a whole wonderful thing.
Oh, I know, it's so good.
It's so good. It's so perfect. Oh, also, I have another one that I just thought of. The orb. Remember the orb with the Saudis?
Yeah. Looks like makes them look mad evil.
Yeah, that was a whole fucking thing too.
And also, didn't he say, I am the chosen one at one point?
He did. That's a real quote also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but that.
Okay. Well, after the apocalypse, I hope that these episodes survive as like a chronicle of these final years of our species.
Yeah, you're welcome, whoever's listening to this in the future and doesn't know what any of this we're talking about is. Because you live in a space station that's inhabited also by aliens, because you were taken there and rescued during the catastrophe that's about to come. Anyways, and you're discovering your lineage. This would make a great movie. You can call me Sony. You're welcome.
Godspeed, everybody.
swish.
Yes. Awesome.